Major highlights of Parshas Beshalach is the event of Kriyas Yamsuf and subsequently the singing of the Shiras Hayam of Az Yashir that was recited on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf by the Jewish people. Certainly it's a most meaningful expression of what they felt at the time, but when you take a small step back, there's a glaring question that should really bother most of us, and that is, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, have just been through the most incredible experience in Mitzrayim. They have just been through the Eser Makos, they have just watched God's hands, Biyad Chazak of Israel Netuya, Makas Bechoris, where God Himself appears and He says, Lo Yidei Malach, Velo Yidei Shaliach, Ela Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bechvod of Atzmo, God Himself came and performed the Makkah. And then you have the miraculous Yitzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael leave the land, which is something they never expected to actually happen in their lifetimes. We're told, Laila Kayom Yair, this is the day when the night was like day, and everything was amazing. Everything was upside down. Everything was incredible. Something they never dreamed, they never fathomed. And yet nobody sings Shira. When does the Shira happen? Only on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. When did Kriyas Yamsuf happen? A week after the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what happened? For a week after they come out of Mitzrayim, nobody's singing Shira. Nobody's thanking God. Nobody's appreciating the experience that they've been through. Nobody's recognizing the incredible Yad Chazakah Zrona to you that they all saw with such clarity on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim when they actually got out, when they had the final Makas Bechoros. Now all of a sudden you get to Kriyas Yamsuf. Now all of a sudden the Jewish people are stuck. That's when you sing Shira? So some of Farshim explain maybe there's one aspect, one element that changed from the time when they left Mitzrayim, from the time of Makas Bechoros, to the time when they came to the Yamsuf. What was that? The Pasuk says clearly, if you look carefully in our parsha, it says, Vayasa Malach Elokim Haholech Lefnei Machane Yisrael. There was a Malach Elokim. There was a heavenly angel that was leading the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and traveling in front of them until the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. That Malach Elokim that was holich lefnei machane Yisrael, vayelech me'achareim. All of a sudden they come to the Yamsuf, and the Malach goes behind them. Now how do you understand that? Here we are, as you just mentioned, the Jewish people are in, I guess what you would say, in absolute Bahala. They don't know what's going on, they don't know what's going to be. Now they're confronted in the most difficult and the most trying of circumstances. I would imagine everybody's anxious, everyone is... afraid and apprehensive. They don't know what's going to be now. Now that we came out of Mitzrayim, now we're stuck at the Yamsuf. Now is the time when we need the leader. Now is the time when we need the Malach to walk us through the Yamsuf. And now is when the Pasuk says, Vayelech Ma'achareim. All of a sudden, the Malach that was guiding them backs out and he goes to the back of the encampment. How is this to be understood? Writes the Meshech Chachma in our Parsha. Such an amazing insight. He says, Nira, Sha'ad Ko, until this point, Kol B'nei Yisrael Halchu Acharei Moshe. Until this point, everybody was just following the instruction. They were conforming to everything that Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do. So he says there's going to be a Makas Arba this week, then next week there's going to be Choshech, then there's going to be Makas Bechoros, and I want everybody to take a Karban Pesach, and I want you to tie it to the bed, and then we're going to leave in the middle of the night. Everybody's conforming, everybody's listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. Katzon bebika achar haroeh, like a bunch of sheep that are just walking aimlessly around a open field, and they follow the leader. That's what they did in the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Avol Bayam, writes the Meshech Chachma, when it came time for the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf, Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, God tells the leader Moshe Rabbeinu, SheYisa Acharei HaAm. No, it's time for you to stop leading them. Now you go to the back of the community, you go to the back of the line, and let's see how Klal Yisrael, let's see what the Jewish people are going to do. Vehema Be'emunasam Bo. And now let's see whether or not they're going to be able to have the confidence in God. Yelchu b'toch hayam. Will they take the leap of faith and discover and come to an understanding and an exploration of God on their own? Until this point, they never did that. Until this point, everything was just listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. And in some way, that's much easier. You just listen to the leader, whatever he says, it's on his responsibility, it's his problem. I don't have to have my own relationship with God. Now on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, God says that's not good enough. Now I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to go to the back. And nobody's going to be looking to you to see what to do. Now I'm going to be looking at each one of them to figure out whether or not they have the wherewithal to actually make that own discovery on their own and their own appreciation for what God means in their life. And therefore he says, this is what it means. Vayasa Malach Elokim Ha'olech Lefnei Machane Yisrael Vayelach Me'achareim. Who was this angel that was traveling before them? Writes the Meshech Chachma, Malach Elokim Zem Moshe. That's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the messenger who was traveling before them. And here, God tells him that it's going to be not in your schus that they're going to pass over through the Yamsuf. It's going to be in their own schus. Because each individual Jew is going to figure out on their own how to come to an understanding of God, how to come to the unbelievable trust and the confidence and the dependence, the reliance on God that we need to have in order to go on with our relationship. And that's why God had this happen immediately here. After a person goes through an experience where I come to it on my own, imagine, you ever taught your kids how to swim? So the first couple of times you bring the child in, or the first many dozens of times you bring the child in and they're paddling on your back and they're doing whatever they're doing and you're standing right in front of them. But then it comes a time when the kid has to learn how to swim on his own. So you leave the kid alone. Now, obviously that's something that is very terrifying. It's frustrating. It's frightening for the kid. But we know that if we don't let them do that, it's never going to happen. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam did to us here. He says, yes, I'm going to put you on my back. I'm going to do everything for you. I'm going to perform the makos. But now it's time to see, can you swim on your own? Now it's time to see when I send Moshe Rabbeinu to the back and he's not going to be the leader anymore. Now each and every person is going to have to make the decision on their own. Will you come to an understanding of what it means to have a relationship with God, or are you not up to that yet? Can you imagine the incredible amount of fulfillment, the accomplishment that every Jew felt on that experience of Kriyas Yamsa when it wasn't someone else doing it for them, but when I created this miracle by myself? That God took my leap of faith and said, because of your belief in me, because of your understanding, because you appreciate the relationship that we have with one another, therefore I'm going to perform this miracle. Can you imagine? And that's why the Jewish people, particularly on this experience, on this occasion, said, now it's time to sing Shira. Because the unbelievable, the overwhelming feelings of fulfillment that one has when coming to an understanding on their own cannot compare to a community that's simply following after Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, when you look in the Psukim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is first informed of the exact details of how he's going to negotiate with Paro, of how he's going to lead the Jews out of Mitzrayim, what do the Psukim tell us? We're told, Lachein Amar Levnei Israel, go and inform the Jewish people that Ani Hashem. Inform them that you had an encounter with me, that I am God. The time has come for the enslavement to end. I'm going to take you out from this terrible circumstance that you found yourselves in. What is the objective of all of this that we're going to do? All of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what is it for? V'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. The whole experience that I'm going to show you on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim is simply V'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, that every single Jew should know that God is the one who does everything for us, that He is the one who provides for us in this world. He is the one that runs every moment of our lives and every aspect of life that we experience, and therefore the Jewish people were tested on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's see. Did they actually understand what the objective of all of these makos were really about? Did they appreciate that all of it was just to teach them, V'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I am the one who is responsible for all of you coming out of Mitzrayim? And once they came to that recognition on their own, now is the time to sing Shira, because there is nothing that can match an experience like that. My father has a comment in one of his svarim in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, such a beautiful insight, where he writes, L'das kama rishonim lekachovas birchas hamazon d'araisa ela balechem. Many rishonim assume that the only time you have a biblical obligation to bench and to thank Hashem for the food you ate is when you eat bread. V'achalta v'savata v'erachta. That's the only time that we find a bracha d'araisa. Why is that? Why is it that only by eating bread we have a biblical obligation to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam? What about thanking Him whenever we enjoy any food that we consume, any food that we eat? So he writes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, Dilukuli Yama, Yeshchovas Hadayim Meuchedes Bedavka Al Alechem. Everybody agrees when it comes to bread that you have a obligation to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam more so than you have by any other food item that you might ingest. V'hayanira lomar betam davarzeh. Why is that true? Tibelechem, because when we talk about eating bread, Yeshu shtatvu shel b'nei adam b'hachanaso. A human being needs to be involved in the process of preparing it. Bread doesn't grow from the ground. Bread is something that we need to intervene. We need to have a part of that process in it becoming what it is. Ein amaychol nishar kamoshehu kishagadam in akarka. When it grows from the ground, it grows in a certain form. We take it and we process it and we make it into something else. Masha'en came to Shahar Paris when we have all the other food items, when you have fruits, Geffen, Te'ena, Rimon, all the other items that are grown in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Bahem Ishtatvus Shel B'nei Adam L'Hachinam. we are not needed in order to appreciate what the finished product is. You take a grape off the ground, you eat it. You take an apple off the tree, you enjoy it. You don't have to have any involvement other than washing it off from the dirt that it got from falling on the floor. And therefore, writes of Soloveitchik, that is the reason why we have an expression of Hodah that is so much greater when it comes to Lechem. Why so? Because when we are involved in the process, when there's something that needs our participation, the fulfillment, the satisfaction is so much greater. And that's why Ve'achalta V'Savata V'Erachta is the only time that we find in the Torah itself that we have an obligation to thank the Ribono Shel Olam after we eat. That is why we find that Shiras Hayam, writes the Meshech Chachma, is something that perhaps was done only on the occasion of not Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather after Kriyas Yamsuf, because there we needed to make the leap of faith. We needed to be involved in the process, and because we had to be involved, this is something that made a tremendous impact on all of us. There's an amazing Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, on Daf Tzadiches Amud Beis, Hillel Omer, the great Hillel, said, Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael. Now, how do you translate those words? Hillel says, Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael. Sounds like a blasphemous statement. What does it mean? Simply translated, Hillel said, there is not going to be a Messiah. Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael. Now, how can that be? How can Hillel say such a thing? Does he not know about the Animamas? Does he not know we say, Achakalo B'chayim Shiavo? We wait for a Mashiach every day. So what does it mean? Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef responded when he heard such a comment. He says, Sharelei Mari Le Hillel. I hope God will find a place in his heart to forgive Hillel. How can he say such a thing? Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael is not going to be a Mashiach. Isn't this what we all look forward to? How is it possible that Hillel can ever say such a thing? And therefore, Rabbi Yosef says about his good friend Hillel, I hope God has a place to forgive you because what you just said is a horrible statement. That's blasphemous. Now, Rashi comments on the Gemara. Is it possible? Can you ever fathom? Can you ever imagine that Hillel, the great Hillel, will get up and say, Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael, that he doesn't believe that there's ever going to be a time of Mashiach? How can Hillel ever say such a thing? That's not what he meant. Writes Rashi, Chas v'shalom, lahaya kofer b'mashiach. Rashi says, Hillel never intended to say there's not going to be a Mashiach. I don't believe in Yemos HaMashiach. Of course, that's not what he means. Aval hayah sover, Hillel, all he was saying when he uttered this statement, Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael, all he said was, Shashem Yisbarach Yigalo Samba Atzma, that God Himself is going to bring the Geula Hasida. God Himself is going to redeem them, and we're not going to have a human being who intervenes. We're not going to have a human being who's involved at all in the process of redemption. And that, says Rashi, is what Hillel meant when he said, Ein Mashiach Li Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik picked up on this Gemara and he comments, if that's all he meant, why is that so blasphemous? Why did his friend turn around at him and say, Sharelei Mari Le Hillel, God should forgive you for saying such a thing? Isn't that a beautiful comment? Isn't that a beautiful statement that we want God to do it on His own? We want the Ribono Shel Olam to give us the Geula Hasida. We don't want anyone else involved. You give us the Geula yourself. Lo Ayidei Malach, Lo Ayidei Shliach. What's so terrible about such a statement? Writes of Soloveitchik, you see from here, the Talmud considers this statement heretical. He suggests that the Gemara assumes that this is something that is unacceptable. Why? Rabbi Yosef said, may the Almighty forgive Hillel for this. Why? Rabbi Hillel did not deny the future redemption. Rather, he denied man's role in it. All Hillel said is, we want the Ribono Shel Olam to do it by himself. We don't want any man having any part of it. According to Chazal, and what you see from the Gemara is, to deny the role of man in the future redemption is nothing short of heresy. The Ribono Shel Olam, yes, he expects there will be a time when we will have a Mashiach, when we'll have a Geula Hasida, but he expects that on our part we're going to have some sort of participation in the process. It's not going to be the same if the process comes about by God Himself. This is what we find by the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. There was something necessary on our part in order for the redemption to actually go into effect, in order for it to happen. This is what we find why Birchas HaMazon is the only bracha that we have an obligation midaraisa to thank the Ribono Shel Olam after we ingest our food. Why? Because it took our participation. When we are involved, there's nothing greater. There's no more satisfaction than a person can have in life than when they are involved in the process of creating something great. And that is what Hillel said here as well. I believe the Ribono Shel Olam is going to bring the Geula by himself. And Rabbi Yosef turned back at him. He said, absolutely not. Sharelei Mari Le Hillel. God expects something from all of us here on this earth. God expects that all of us will have a major role in the Geula Hasida actually coming. In His ultimate redemption, it's not going to happen by Himself. God expects that all of us are going to take part in it because that is the greatest satisfaction we will ever have, is when we take an active role in the Geula's coming, and that is something we walk away with as we read Shiras Hayam, as we read Parshas Beshalach, which recounts the incredible sense of gratitude that Klal Yisrael felt on the occasion of not Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather of Kriyas Yamsuf, we walk away with this idea that we all have the opportunity to be a part of our ultimate redemption, of our Geula Hasida, that we have to take an active role and we have to be the players who God expects to step up and be a part of everything that He hopes to give us with the Geula that He promised us and that we so much look forward to.